So we began the Mishnah last time. In fact, we finished the Mishnah. Let's just have a look again at the Mishnah, and then we'll begin the Gemara. Daf Nun Gimel Omed Beis. Ein Poichasin Meyesrim Va'achas Tkiyos Omigdosh. There are never less than 21 Tkiyos in the Beis Omigdosh. Ve'ein Moisifin Al Arboim V'Shmoina. And there are never more than 48. So it's always minimum of 21, never less, and sometimes more, up to 48. B'chol yoyim, every single day, hoyu shom esrim va'achas tkiyos b'migdosh. Every day, on a regular day in the Beis HaMikdosh, there were 21 tkiyos in the Beis HaMikdosh. How does that work out? Shaloish lepsichas sha'arim. So remember we said repeatedly that there are always multiples of three, because how were the tkiyos formulated in the Beis HaMikdosh? It's always tkiyah, teruah, tkiyah. We'll see more about this in the Gemara Mitzashem. So when we say shalosh for this and shalosh for that and shalosh for the other, the understanding is tkiyah, teruah, tkiyah, which we call a tarat. Tarat, in short. Tkiyah, teruah, tkiyah. So shalosh lepsichas sha'arim. Three for the initial opening of the gates. Rashi points out the Shaarei HaZora of the Beis HaMikdosh was opened up in great fanfare to start the day, three tekiyos. Following which, v'teisha l'tomid shal shacha, v'teisha l'tomid shal bein ha'arbayim. Nine for the first tomid, the morning one, nine for the afternoon tomid, that's 18, plus the three first thing in the morning for the opening of the gates is 21 altogether. That's how you get to the very simple cheshbon, 21 on a regular day, three plus nine plus nine. That was on a regular day. Ubumusafin, on those days that they had an additional korban, meaning a korban musa, for example, Rosh Chodesh, or Shabbos, we'll get to Shabbos shortly, but let's say certainly Rosh Chodesh, then in addition to the two tamidin, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, there was an extra korban, also an oila, which was a musaf for Rosh Chodesh. Well, then you have to add nine to the cheshbon, so you're up to 30. Ubemusafin hoyu moisifin oid teisha. Okay. Ube erev Shabbos hoyu moisifin sheish. On erev Shabbos, again, you have the 21 standard plus six. What's significant about erev Shabbos? Shaloish lahavtil esom mimalocha. Three to be mevatel the community from doing malocha. It's an announcement that everybody should stop. V'shalosh lahavdil bein kodesh l'chol, and a further three to be mavdil bein kodesh l'chol, meaning you obviously don't stop doing malacha at the very last moment. So you need to have a bit of prior warning. So first you have the first three that says everybody should stop working now, and then you have the last three which says it's now no longer chol and it's now kodesh. Which means on a regular Erev Shabbos, how many were there altogether? 27, because of 21, regular, plus 6. If Erev Shabbos happened, for example, to be Rosh Chodesh, so how many would you have then? 36. Because you'd have your 21, plus the extra 9 for the Musaf of the Rosh Chodesh is 30, and it was Erev Shabbos, it was 36. Says the Mishnah, Erev Shabbos Shabbatoich HaChog, on Erev Shabbos during Sukkos, so what do you have over here? You've got everything that comes together. How many would you have then? Hayusham arbo'im v'shmoina. You'd have 48. So we can make a very simple cheshbon. Out of those 48, 21 are obvious because they're the standard daily tekiyos. Three in the morning for the psichas hasha'arim, plus nine is 21. It's Erev Shabbos, so obviously we're adding an extra six, so it's 27. It's also Yom Tov. There's every day an extra korban is Musaf, so we're up to 36. So we certainly know out of these 48 where 36 come from. So how many are we missing?
12.
We're missing 12. So we have to look for 12 more, or four sets of three. Says the Mishnah, this is the cheshbon. Erev Shabbos, Shabbatoich HaChog, Hoyu Shom Arboim V'Shmoina. Shaloish Lepsichas Sha'arim. 3 for the opening of the gates, that was standard. 3 leshar ha'elyoin.
Excuse me, one second. You didn't already include that in the 21.
We did. The psichas hasha'arim, we did. Okay, the psichas hasha'arim, okay. Opening the gates, was standard on every single day. Okay. You open the gates first thing in the morning, that's 3, plus 9 and 9 for the 2 tzmidim is 18, okay. Plus 3 is 21.
Yeah.
So the psichas hasha'arim, you have 3, so far no chiddush. Now here come the extra ones. Shalosh l'shar ha'elyoin. What does that mean, l'shar ha'elyoin? Because the Mishnah told us, when you did the whole Nusach HaMayim, it was a whole process. You didn't just turn up and do the Nisuch. You first arrived at the Shar HaElyoin. And you blew. How many? 3. We said there's always 3. Minimum of 3.
Which is Nicanor Gate.
Right.
Okay.
Then you get to the Shar HaTachtoin. V'sholosh l'Shar HaTachtoin. The bottom gate. V'sholosh l'Milui HaMayim. Which Rashi points out is the Shar HaMayim. There's a special gate called the Shar HaMayim. V'sholosh al-gab ha-mizbeach, says Rashi, that refers to putting the arava on the mizbeach. So again, how many extra have we got here? 12. 3 for the Shar ha-elyoin, 3 for the Shar ha-tachtoin, 3 for the Shar ha-mayim, and 3 on the mizbeach. There's an extra 12. In addition to the first 3 that opened up the gates, we're up to 15 so far. Then, teisha l'tomid shol shacha, first Talmud of the day, 15 and 9, 24. Teisha l'tomid shol bein arbaim, another 9, 33. Teisha l'musafin, because it's Yom Tov, there's a musaf every day, we're up to 42. Happens to be Erev Shabbos, so it's sholesh l'havdil es ha'om min ha'malacha, that's 45. V'sholesh l'havdil min kodesh l'chorel, 48. So it's a rather simple cheshbon, sounds a little bit complicated, it's 48. The only thing missing, and Rashi points this out, is we were told when they used to descend down the 15 stairs, on the 10th stair, there was a question in the Gemara, 10th from the top or 10th from the bottom, wherever it was, it says they stopped there and they blew. So l'chayra, we should really have not 48, but
51,
there should be an additional 3. So why is that not mentioned in the Mishnah? The Gemara will discuss it presently.
The first 3 for Erev Shabbos,
yeah.
which we're saying was because...
Warning.
Of,
get ready.
As a heads up. But it was Yom Tov.
Yeah, but even on Yom Tov,
it's
my Erev Shabbos.
It's
Chol HaMoed. It was Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to do Malach on Chol HaMoed. You're right, you can't do it. Yeah, certain Malachas. You're allowed to do. You're allowed to cook on the Chol HaMoed. You can't cook on Shabbos. So all the malachas that are mutar on Chol HaMoed, tzeirich hachag, etc., etc., etc. We needed to blow the shofar to remind everybody that no, you know it's Sukkos. Today you're allowed to do malachas Chol HaMoed, but now it's Shabbos. It's also okay. So we've learned that already. That's how we get to the cheshbon. Again, the regular cheshbon is 21. Erev Shabbos during Sukkos was 48. Says the Gemara, this is where we're up to now. Mas nisin deloy k'Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah seems not to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why not? D'tanya, because we have learned in a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, hapoiches. What does it mean hapoiches? The minimum. Lo yifchois misheva. Is never less than 7. Our Mishnah said
21.
Vahamoisiv, and when you add, sometimes you do have to add, but lo yosef al sheshesra. You never add more than 16. So the numbers don't seem to fit in. So the Mishnah clearly does not fit in with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because our Mishnah spoke about 21 and 48. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda spoke about 7 and 16. Now, of course, immediately we note that the numbers are related. 7 is, of course, a third of 21, and 16 is a third of 48. So the Gemara will explain. Says the Gemara, B'mai komiflagi. What is the machloikas? Now, this is a very, very important phrase. We've had it many, 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 many times. B'mai komiflagi. It doesn't say my komiflagi. What's the difference between my and b'mai komiflagi? My komiflagi means what is the machloikas? I already know what the machloikas is. One says 7, one says 21, one says 60, and one says 48. It doesn't say my komiflagi. It says b'mai komiflagi. In what are they arguing? Or in better English, what are they arguing about? I know what the argument is. If two people have a shaila and have a machloikas, and one says muta and one says osa, so you wouldn't say my komiflagi, what is the argument? What do you mean, what is the argument? One said muta, one said osa. But if I say the my komiflagi, what do I mean then?
And what are they?
What is the argument about? Why did he say muta? Why did the other one say osa? So b means in. Or about. B'mai komiflagi. About what are they arguing about? About what are they arguing? What is the machlokes revolving? Says the Gemara. Risova. Rabbi Yehuda holds tekiya, terua, tekiya, achas hi. A tekiya and a trua and a tekiya is all considered one. V'rabbonon savri. Why does it say Savri with a Yud? Because it's plural. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, it just says Savar. Rabbanon Savri, Tkiya Lechud, V'Teruah Lechud. Each one is separate. So now, initially when you see the Gemara for the first time, it sounds a little bit strange. Because it sounds like they're arguing just about semantics. In other words, it turns out that when Rabbi Yehuda says minimum 7, what did he in fact mean? Each one of those 7 is what?
A unit.
Three.
It is 3 koilis. So it sounds like they're just arguing about semantics. Are we calling this 1 or are we calling it 3? Well, what's the difference what you call it? You agree, Rabbi Yehuda, that when you said 7, what you meant was 7 sets of 3. And when you said 16, you meant 16 sets of 3. Well, that is 48. So what is the machlokes? The Gemara says no. What they're arguing about is, do we consider each set 1 or do we consider it 3? Well, what's the difference? Just what the name is?
What's the nafkamina?
So what's the nafkamina la'alocha? You call it 16, call it whatever you like. So initially, this needs explanation. Let's immediately have a Rashi. Look at Rashi. Achas hi, says Rashi, mitzvah achas, on the fifth wide line, sixth wide line. Mitzvah achas. It's one mitzvah. Mitzvah achas hein. They are one mitzvah. V'choda choshiv lehu. And like one, they are considered. So Rashi has already told us, has answered l'chaira our question. They're not arguing about semantics. What are they arguing about? Is it considered one mitzvah? Or when you blow terat, is it in fact three mitzvahs? So that's a nafkamina. So at the moment, we'll see later on, there are practical nafkaminas as well. At the moment, although we might not yet have any practical ramification, but at least we do understand that has a different categorization. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you blow your terat, how many mitzvahs did you just now perform?
One
mitzvah. What's that mitzvah called? Tkiya trua tkiya, terat. According to the Rabbanon, you just performed 3 mitzvahs. So again, practically speaking at the moment, is there any difference?
No.
If you would walk into the Beis HaMikdash, l'chayra, you would hear the same thing, whether you are a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda or a Talmud of Rabbanon, you'd hear the same thing, l'chayra. We'll see later on in the Gemara that there are, in fact, practical ramifications. So what is the machlekes? At least, what's the machlekes about? You're right, you may well hear the same thing. But that is the fulfillment of how many mitzvahs. So if we were to ask Rabbi Yehuda, how many mitzvahs of tekiyas were they mekayim on a regular day? What would he say?
7.
The Rabbanon, that's how Mishnah would say, 21. So now, we need to see more. Says the Gemara. My timer de Rabbi Yehuda. What is the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda? What is the reasoning behind Rabbanon? We need to explain this. Omakro says Rabbi Yehuda, it says in the Pasuk, this is the Pasuk in Parashas, Baha'alo Yisacha, V'tekatem Teruah. What does that mean, V'tekatem Teruah? Isn't that a contradiction in terms? You can say V'tekatem Tekiah, or Teratem Teruah. You can't Tekiah a Teruah. You can Tekiah a Tekiah, or Teruah a Teruah. So what does it mean, utakatem teruah? So what do you see from there? That is the same thing. It's all considered one set. Says Rashi, hochi garsinon. There is a whole discussion. If you look in the Gemara, you see all types of parentheses and stars. So Rashi tells us, hochi garsinon. Whenever you see that, hey gimel, you always know that what? That is obviously an unclear text. Otherwise, why does Rashi have to point out what the text is? So Rashi says, "Hochi garasinon." I'm now going to tell you what the correct text is, as opposed to some other erroneous texts that might have creeped in. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, the Ksiv v'tekatem trua, quote unquote, alma terua hainu tkiya. Now that is not Rashi's explanation. According to Rashi, that is the text of the actual Gemara. Alma, you see that what? That teruah is tkiya. Kloima, what does this mean to say? Medi kari literuah. Seeing as we call the teruah tkiya, quote unquote, what do we say? We say, can you please tkiya the teruah? How do you tekiah a truah? I can truah a truah. If I say tekiah a truah, what do I see? Shma mino, I learn from there, the chodahi. It's not considered separate. It's not considered a different type of mitzvah. It's all one thing. Okay, we'll see more, and then we'll summarize in a moment. So again, my time at the Rabbi Yehuda, back into the Gemara, Omar Kra, the tekatem truah. If it says tekatem truah, back into the Gemara, clearly we consider it all one. The Rabbanon. So how do the Rabbanon respond? Before they bring a source for their own position, but they first have to answer, how do they learn this pasuk? So they say, no. Hahu, this particular pasuk is lipshuta lefoneho. This is to teach us, I think we mentioned this last week. When you blow a teruah, whether it be in the Beis HaMikdash here, or at the time of war, or on Rosh Hashanah, or in Yovel, whenever you blow a teruah, it always has to be preceded and followed by a tekiah. Says the Rabbanon, do you know where we learn that from? This pasuk. Utakatem truah doesn't mean can you tekiah a truah, as Rabbi Yehuda understood. Rather, what does it mean?
It's a sequence.
Vatakatem, stop, followed by teruah, stop, followed by a tekiah, stop. Therefore, do not bring this pasuk as a source. Tekiah and Trua, it's all one happy family. No, the Pasuk, although we admit, say the Rabbanon, that the Pasuk is strange. What does it mean, V'tekatem Trua? The answer is, this is trying to teach us the what? That you have a Tekiah followed by a Trua. Remember we said, Rashi will quote this in a moment, on Rosh Hashanah, essentially, what is Rosh Hashanah? What does it say in the Torah? What must you blow? Yoim Teruah Ilachem. It's a day of Teruah. So essentially, we could walk into the shul, blow a Teruah, and we go home. One koil. Happens to be, it says it three times. So we blow a Teruah three times. But the Gemara there explains, and this is where it's coming from, every Teruah is a sandwich. Preceded and followed by a tekiah, so it ends up being not three truahs, but rather nine. Of course, we get involved in a whole balagam because we don't really know what a trua is. Is it a tkia? Is it a shvarim? Is it a trua? Is it a shvarim trua? Okay, that's all hilchas shofa shailas. In fact, Rashi will mention it in a moment. But at the moment, suffice to say, the opinion of the Rabbanon is every trua is preceded and followed by a tkia, says Rashi. Fourth bottom line. Hahi, this particular pasuk of a tokatim trua, lipshuta lafoneho, upshuta lachareho. Mehocha, says Rashi. It is from here that Yalfinon lo b'Rosh Hashanah. It is from over here that we learn in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Daled, Diksiv, V'Tokatem, quote unquote. It says the word V'Tokatem, which means you should blow a tekiah. V'Hodar, and then it says Teruah, quote unquote. V'Hodar Ksiv, and then once again, what does it say? Teruah. Yitku. Again, what's the sequence? Teruah followed by Tekiah. Initially it was preceded, then it was followed. Kloima. So what does this sequence of psukim teach us? Achar ha-teruah yitku. After the teruah, you should blow a Tekiah. It says initially v'tokatem, and then it says teruah. So what do we learn from there?
Tekiah
is preceded by a tekiah. But then it says the word tekiah afterwards. What do we learn there? It has to be followed up. Therefore says the Rabbanon do not derive from this pasuk that tekiah and teruah is all one. That's not what the pasuk is teaching me. All the pasuk is teaching me is that it has to be preceded, the teruah has to be preceded by a tekiah, has to be followed by a tekiah, three separate mitzvahs. Okay, so Rabbanon have managed at least to explain how they learn Rabbi Yehuda's Pasuk. But they haven't actually brought a source for their own position. How do you know it's actually considered separate mitzvahs? Maybe they're one inseparable group. Says the Gemara, V'rabbonon, my ta'amayhu. Doesn't say my ta'amei, singular, my ta'amayhu. What is their reasoning? Diksiv. Because it says, Ubahakil es hakohol. When you gather the nation, remember in Pashas Balusha discusses different events and different occurrences in which you blew the trumpet or the shofar. One of them is whenever the kohol needed to be assembled. Whenever you needed to assemble the nation and Moshe Rabbeinu needed to address them, you would blow the chatzotzeris. How would you blow them? So it says, Tisku v'loitariu. You should blow a tekiah and not a teruah. So what does that demonstrate? What does that prove? Says the Gemara, V'isal kedatach. If you would possibly think, as Rabbi Yehuda indeed does, that tekiah, teruah, achasi, that tekiah and teruah is really
one
mitzvah. Oma Rachmona, would the Torah possibly say, palga de mitzvah of it, do half of the mitzvah, Upalga loy ovid? Question mark. Rhetorical. What's Rabbanon's taina? According to Rabbi Yehuda, when you blow a tekiah and a teruah, how many mitzvahs have you performed? One. If it's one mitzvah, there cannot exist the concept of one without the other. When you, for example, shake lulav on sukkos. Lulav, Esrog, Hadas, whatever. How many mitzvahs are you performing?
One.
No. Nope. Four mitzvahs. Four mitzvahs. However, we have special psukim. You've got to shake all of them, but essentially if they're in front of you, you can shake one at a time. separate mitzvahs. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to Tkiyo Teruah, what is it? It's one mitzvah. Therefore, it doesn't exist, the concept of having one without the other. So how can the Torah possibly mandate, when you want to assemble a nation, you should blow a Tkiyah without a Teruah? Can that possibly be? That the Torah would warrant half the performance of the mitzvah, but not the other half? Can that be? Es ken doch nicht sein. Can't be. So the Rabbanan say, it must be. What do you see from over here? This pasuk proves to us that what? It's separate mitzvahs. Sometimes they go together, and sometimes you can have one without the other. So again, look at the Gemara. When you assemble the nation, if you would possibly think, as indeed Rabbi Yehuda does, that Tekiyo and Teruah Achasi is all one, Omar Rachmona, this is, you have to read it. Remember we said, sometimes you have to sing the Gemara, not read it. If you read it, you won't understand it. You have to sing it as a question. Omar Rachmona, does the Torah say, Palga de mitzvah, half of the mitzvah of it you should do, Upalga and half lo of it you should not do? Can't be. How long does a truah have to be? Do you know the answer to that question?
Three evavos.
This whole discussion, what three evavos means. But let's say, for argument's sake, it's 3 seconds. Can there exist a truah which is just for 1 second? No, because that's half a mitzvah. You can't have a half mitzvah. There's no such thing. If there are 2 separate mitzvahs, one called Tekiyah and one called Teruah, then I have no problem in understanding that on certain occasions, for whatever reason, the Torah says you should do one without the other. And on other occasions, you should do both. Why is that the case? This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. But if it's all one mitzvah, it makes no sense. How can you have half the mitzvah? Okay, so we've just sent the ball over the net to whose court? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has some serious explaining to do. What does he need to explain? How on earth can you possibly hold, albeit you had a pasuk, how can you say it's one mitzvah? If I found explicitly in the Torah that on occasion you blow one without the other, makes absolutely no sense. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda, Hahu lesimana va'alma hu da'asa. What does that mean, lesimona?
It's just a symbol, a signal.
It's just a signal. It's not an actual performance of a mitzvah. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, there's a mitzvah to blow the shofar. When it comes to Korbanos, when the Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah to blow the shofar, the Chatzotzeris. Over here, this is just a rallying call. This is just an alarm, just a siren, just a, everyone please, everyone gather please in the ground, the town square, Moshe Rabbeinu needs to address the nation. Therefore, how has Rabbi Yehuda managed to squirm out?
Saying that which you said was only a half mitzvah, you can blow one. There are scenarios that you
right.
can blow one and not
because it's not really a mitzvah in this right. case. But Einachanami, where a mitzvah is necessary, then you cannot have one without the other. This is not a mitzvah. This is just a siman ba'alma. The Rabbanon on the second bottom line say, you're right, it's simonahu. You're right that the purpose of this rallying call is for what?
Purposes.
It's just as a simon, but at the end of the day, v'rachmona, and the Torah, shavya mitzvah. The Torah has made it into a mitzvah. So you're right, the purpose is for what reason?
Rallying call.
Just as a rallying call, nothing more than that. But once the Torah does say this is what you're supposed to do, it is a mitzvah. So therefore Rabbanan says, as far as we're concerned, we're back to square one. You're right. The initial reasoning behind this is for purpose of a siman. But if at the end of the day it now becomes converted into a mitzvah, so therefore our proof is back in place. How can you have half a mitzvah? Says Rashi on the second bottom line. Hahu lesimono ba'alma hu. Hahit kia. This particular shofar blowing, or chatzotzer is blowing, shehi lahakil hakohol, whose purpose is to gather the nation, eino elo lesimon. It's just for a sign, a rallying call. Kashahoya Moshe reitze ledaber alehem, when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to
talk to the people.
They ain't a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah as such. It's just how he's supposed to alert the nation. When you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you're blowing shofar not in order to do anything. It's just, that's a mitzvah. When you blow the chatzotzeres during the korban, what are you doing? That's the mitzvah. It's not in order to, as a medium to, as a means to an end. But over here, when Moshe Rabbeinu blew the chatzotzeres, it was just a means to an end. It was just a practical way of gathering the nation. This was pre-emails. You couldn't send out an email. Could everybody assemble in the town squares? They blew the chatzos. It's not a mitzvah as such.
Would Rabbi Yehuda say that opening the gates is a mitzvah?
Yeah, oh, we'll see that. So essentially, it seems to be at the moment he's holding it's a mitzvah, although we'll see later it's not so poshut. Now, for communities, can you do it on Shabbos? We'll see you later on. Says the Rashi on the bottom line, Rachmona Shavya Mitzvah. The Rabbonon say that what? That the Torah has now converted it into a mitzvah. Shemetzuvim lahakil besimon zeh. You are obligated to gather them with this simon. V'loi ba'acher. What does that mean, v'loi ba'acher?
Another mechanism.
This
right.
is the way it's done.
What happens if you decided that instead of blowing the chatzotzes, you're going to have a drum roll? Instead of blowing the shofar, you're going to knock on everybody's door. Instead of blowing the shofar, you're going to announce it in shul. That would work, but the Torah says, no, sorry, it's the wrong way. So again, even though it's true, the purpose of this tekiah is as a means to an end, but at the end of the day, there are now rules. It's a proper mitzvah. This is what must be done, and in no other way. Even if you come up with 25 other mechanisms of alerting the nation, I'm sorry, the Torah has said there's only one way that's considered a mitzvah. Okay. So at the moment, if we press pause for the moment, we summarize and we say, our Mishnah says minimum 21, maximum 48. Rabbi Yehuda told us minimum 7, maximum 16. So for the moment, we haven't seen any practical difference. If you would go into the Beis HaMikdash, would you hear anything different? Between Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and Rabbanon's opinion, you'd hear the same tekiah, truer tekiah. At the moment, they're just arguing about classification. At the moment, they're arguing about classification. According to Rabbanon, tekiah, truer tekiah is considered what?
Three
separate mitzvahs. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's all considered one mitzvah. One mitzvah. So therefore, it's not 21, it's 7 groups of 3. Or it's not 48, it's 16 groups of 3. But now, however, we will indeed see that there is, in fact, a practical difference, perhaps, between Rabbonon and Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Keman Ozlo. Like whom does this go? Who does the following statement fit in with? Hodoma, that which it says. Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana told us the following statement. Now remember, Rav Kahana is a Tana or an Amoira? Rav Kahana is an Amoira. So Rav Kahana says a statement, he can't argue with a Tana. Right? There's no such concept as an Amoira arguing with a Tana. So if he says a statement, it's got to follow one or the other. Not that he's necessarily taking positions, but he's just following the opinion of one. So, Keman Oz Lahad Omer of Kahana. Whom does the following statement or of Kahana follow? All he said was 6 words. Ein, Bein, Tekiah, L'trua v'liklum. There is no difference, or there is no space, aimbein, there is nothing in between the tekiya and the trua v'liklum. Literally nothing.
At all.
It's like saying nothing at all. Ein bein tekiya l'trua, there is nothing between the tekiya and the trua v'liklum. Now, let's not make a mistake. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you blow the tekiya trua tekiya, it's not going to be one note. There has to be some gap. Look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the Amud. What does it mean v'liklum? Rashi immediately tells us that this cannot be literate. Loi hayo mafsik bein tayim. They would not be mafsik between them. Between what?
Sounds.
The sounds of the tekiya and the trua. Elo kedei neshima. What does kedei neshima mean?
Breathe.
You just breathe in, that's it. Not that you don't need to make a gap. You wouldn't be allowed to make a gap. You have to take a breath, like we said, because each note is separate. So whatever a kedei neshima is, however long it takes to breathe, for argument's sake, half a second. So there'll be a half a second gap. So when it says v'loi klum, which literally translated means absolutely nothing, says Rashi, and it can't literally mean that. Rather, what does it mean? A kedei neshima. Now, whose opinion does that follow? Says the Gemara, Kaman, whose opinion does that go with? Karabi Yehuda. Oh, so now we're seeing that it's no longer merely a question of classification. There is a practical difference. According to Rabbonon, when you blow the Terat, what's the gap in between? We don't know. But does it have to be only a kedei neshima? No, it could be longer. Can it be very long? We'll see in a moment. Can you have an hour's break? We'll see. There does exist an opinion like that. We'll see Rabbi Yechon's opinion in a moment. But certainly there's no good reason to suggest that they have to be back to back. And you can have a gap. So why is Rav Kahana telling me the what? That you've got to do them absolutely back to back, with a minimal gap of a kedei neshima in between. Whose opinion must he be following?
Good.
Must be remote. See, here you all of a sudden see the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon actually manifests itself in a very practical way. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, how does he view the Tarat?
As one.
As one. It's definitely three sounds. There's no question about that. No question. Like we said, you have to have a kedei neshima. By the way, big, big, big machlekes lahalocha. Did you notice, if you have to medayek very carefully, the last Rashi says, lo yoyo mafsik bein tayim elo kedei neshima. Did Rashi say that you have to breathe? Rashi says there was a hefsik of kedei neshima, the time it would take to breathe. Do you actually physically have to take in a breath? Big discussion. It sounds like from Rashi you don't. This is extremely noigea on Rosh Hashanah. Big, big, big machlekas. Big machlekas. Do you know why it's machlekas? Where is this machlekas manifest? Shorin Truch. Remember we said before, we don't really know what the Truah is. Is it what we call Shvarim? Is it what we call Teruah? Or is it a combination thereof? So what do? We do everything. Now, there is a big Machloikas Rishonim. When you blow the Shvarim Teruah, do you do it in one breath or not in one breath? Machloikas. Neshima achas or shtei neshimas. So again, what do? We cover our bases, we do everything. We're sitting there innocently in shul. We have to know that the poor old Baal Tikea has got to keep his wits about him. Or at least the Baal Makre has got to remind him. So for the first 30, we do Shvarim Teruah in one breath. For the second 30, we do two breaths. here comes the big shaila. What does it mean, two breaths? Does it mean you have to have a gap? The time it would take for a quick breathing? Or does it in fact mean you have to in fact breathe in? It's a big discussion. I have a number of proofs that you actually have to breathe in. I once discussed this with Rav Kornfeld, Rav Shlomo Zalman Ullman, and they agreed that is what you're supposed to do. Although it could be there is divided opinion, and that's what we do here, and that's what they do in the Grosh Shul as well. You will definitely hear a difference. You might not hear the breath. The first set is, does a shvarim and immediately it's kia. Hutu, 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 hutu. Second set, hutu, 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 stop, and then truah. But in fact, the Baal Tekea, by Jacobson and the Grosh Shul, by Slutsch and our shul, they actually take a little breath. But the Loshon of Rashi over here doesn't sound like that. What does it sound like from Rashi? You're just mafsik kedei nashima. There's a gap, the time it would take to have a breath. It doesn't actually say you have to breathe it. Okay, close parenthesis. But back to our subject. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you're blowing your terat, how many mitzvahs are you performing?
One
mitzvah. Therefore, what is the what is the practical manifestation of that? There's got to be back to back. There's got to be some sort of gap. Otherwise, it's not three koiles, it's one koil, which sounds interesting in the beginning, and then it changes in the middle, and then you go, that's obviously not the case. It's definitely three koiles. But what?
One after another, no break at all.
If I say to you, when I say, Baruch atah Hashem kein mechalom shahakol nia bedvorei, how many brachas is that? How many mitzvahs? Obviously, one mitzvah. But it's a number of words. There's no such thing called Baruch Atah. It's Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech. Every word is separate. They form together to produce what we call a bracha. Says Rabbi Yehuda, the same over here as well. Of course, it's separate koilos, like they're separate words when you daven and you talk. But they have to be back to back. Somebody wants to make a bracha shakol near bedvari. You can't say Baruch now, then go for a rest. Then say Atah half an hour later, then go for a walk around the block, and that's not a bracha. So clearly Rav Kahana is following whose opinion?
Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda.
In fact, it's so clear that what does the Gemara ask? A one-word question?
Pshita.
Pshita. Isn't it obvious? What, in fact, does Rabbi Yehuda be mechadosh to you? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's one mitzvah, obviously there's supposed to be no hefsek between them, besides for the breath, whatever, minimasa, obviously the loy klub. So what's Rav Kahana being mechadish to you, frick the Gemara? Or better put, who are we questioning? We're not so much questioning Rav Kahana, we're questioning the Gemara. Rav Kahana walked into the Beis HaMedrash and he says, Mirai v'raboisai, when you blow your tekiah teruah, there should be no gap in between. Or, as we said, minimum, minimum gap. So what does the Gemara say? You know something? That follows Rabbi Yehuda. Isn't that obvious that it follows Rabbi Yehuda? Obviously it follows Rabbi Yehuda. Couldn't possibly go like Rabbanon. Says the Gemara, no, it could. Says the Gemara, Mahu d'tema, because you might well have said that afilu kerabonon. You might actually have said that Rav Kahana could be following the opinion of
Rabbanon.
Ula afuke, as opposed to Midrabich. As opposed to Rabbi Yechanan. What did Rabbi Yechanan say? Rabbi Yechanan said the famous statement. The Omar, Shoma, Teisha, Tekiyos. If you heard nine Tekiyos, which obviously doesn't mean nine Tekiyos, it means Terat, Terat, Terat. Beteisha, Shoois, Bayoim, even over the course of 9 hours of a day, means you heard 1 hour. And what did you do in the meantime? 50 things. Yotza, says Rabbi Yechanan, you'd be Yotza. So what do you see from Rabbi Yechanan? Rabbi Yochanan clearly holds not only are they separate mitzvahs, but they don't even have to be blown in close proximity to each other. You can blow one at 11 o'clock, one at 12 o'clock, one at 1 o'clock, one at 2 o'clock, no problem at all. Komash Malon, says the Gemara, that's what we're being taught over here. That Rav Kahana is arguing with, who's he arguing with? Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, are you allowed to have a gap between the kolos?
Yes.
Of course, you can have even a 3-hour gap, no problem. So when Rav Kahana said, don't make a gap, and we said that he's following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, it's actually not so simple. Because you could, in theory, have told me that maybe he's following the opinion of
Rabbanon.
Of the Rabbanon, in order to oppose Rabbi Yochanan. So that's why the Gemara needed to explain that no, that's not what Rav Kahana meant. What did Rav Kahana mean? Whose opinion is he in fact following?
Rabbi Yehuda.
So how many opinions do we have on the table altogether? Rabbanon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the gap in between the kolos?
Minimal.
Absolutely nothing, basically. According to Rabbanon, you can make a slight gap, but apparently not an enormous gap. We'll have to define that further in a moment. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, as big as you like. So you have three opinions. No gap, small gap, large gap. Three opinions. Again, Rav Kahana walks into the Beis HaMedrash and he says, Rabbeisai, Leiklum, no gap. And the Gemara says, clearly that's following whose opinion? Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, well, obvious, because he's following Rabbi Yehuda. Who else could it be? So the Gemara says, no. In theory, he could have been following the opinion of the Rabbanon, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda. So when I told you that Rav Kahana is following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, it's actually not so obvious. Because he could, in theory, have been following Rabbanon. One second. If he, in theory, could have been following the opinion of Rabbanon, or maybe he is. So how did you indeed know that he's following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? And the answer is, because what did Rav Kahana say? What is the gap?
No gap.
No gap at all. So which opinion must he be following? Must be Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Gemara says. Says the Gemara, Ve'eima hocha nami. Perhaps indeed so. You're telling me that it could, in theory, have been Rabbanon. Well, maybe it is Rabbanon. Says Gemara, no. Because Im Kain. If so, what does it mean if so? If what? If you are following Rabbanon, my, what did you mean when you said the following two words, quote unquote, v'loiklum? What do the words v'loiklum mean? Does v'loiklum make sense according to the Rabbanon? No. Why not?
It's a separate thing.
According to Rabbanon,
it's not a minimum hefsek.
It's not a minimum. How much can you make? I don't know. A little hefsek. You can't say v'loiklum. That's what the Gemara is pointing out. So again, three opinions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what is the gap? V'loiklum, virtually nothing. According to the Rabbanon, you can have a small gap. According to Rabbi Yochanan, large gap. So when Rabbi Kahana says, make sure that there's a gap of what? Of v'loiklum, who must he be following? Must be Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, could be Rabbanon? No, in fact it can't be. Because then the words v'loiklum don't make sense. Says the Rashi, Mau de Tema Rabbanon, you might have been excused for thinking that he's following the opinion of Rabbanon. The Yochel Lahafsik Bein Taim, and you'd be allowed to be Mafsik in between Hafsaka Mu'etes. What does it mean, Hafsaka Mu'etes? Small gap. Oh my. And what did it mean when he said Ein Bein? the Ka'ama, quote unquote. What do the Ein Bein mean? When Rav Kahana says that there is nothing in between them, you could in theory have wangled that a little bit to say that what does he mean? Sheloi yamtin, that he should not wait, hamtona merubar. You could in theory have said that's what he meant. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan says, Teshat Kiyos, what are the nine? Which nine? What nine? Ho Amurais Barosh Hashanah Min HaTorah. Of course we know Midrabanan, we do far more than nine. But Min HaTorah, essentially you have to do nine. Shalosh Lamalchiyos, Tekiyah, Teruah, Tekiyah. V'Shalosh LeZichreinos, V'Shalosh LeSheifarais. Kedah Amrina Barosh Hashanah. So Min HaTorah, how many do you have to blow? Nine. Where do you get the nine from? It says Trua, it says three times, it's going to be preceded and followed by Tekiah, three times three is nine, Malchias, Zechoyne, Shefer, simple as that. Vahayda of Dinon Tvei. If you're probably wondering, why is it that we do in fact more than nine? Because we have a problem. Mishum, because we have a suffix. The Trua, we have a suffix of a Trua. The Lo Yodino, we do not know if what? Igenuchihu, what's genuchi? Is it a moan? Or yiluliyu, maybe it's a sob. Remember the Gemara says there's different ways of crying. A person can cry as a moan, which is a slightly large, longer coil, or as a sob, short coilus. So we have a suffix. That's why we have to cover all our bases and we do everything. But essentially, how many do you have to blow in our Torah? Nine. Comes along Rabbi Yechon and says, how long does it take you to blow the nine? As long as you like. So in theory, maybe that's what Rav Kahana meant. Don't go with Rabbi Yechon and make an enormous gap. Just a small gap. Says the Gemara, no. The last Rashi, V'loi klum. What do the words v'loy klum imply? Mashma that what? Da'afilu hafsoka mu'etes leisa do not have. So I'm very sorry to tell you, Reb, Rabbanon's opinion is simply you are unable to explain that that's what Rav Kahana means. When Rav Kahana says have a hafsoka v'loy klum only lends itself to one translation, which means
Rabbi Yehuda.
In other words, basically no gap. Rabbi Yochanan obviously didn't follow Rabbi Yochanan, but even Rabbanon, where you could in theory have squeezed it a bit, when he says Ein Bein, there shouldn't be a gap, maybe he just means there shouldn't be a big gap. So says, well, I'm sorry, you're right, I could have maybe twisted that, but when he concluded with the words and he said V'loi Klum, what does V'loi Klum mean? No gap at all. So then we not only knock out the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, but we're forced to knock out the opinion of Rabbanon. Two down, process of elimination, who's the only one left standing? It's Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, that's how we reach the inescapable conclusion that it must be that Rav Kahana was following whose opinion? Following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So in summary, it turns out that Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda are not arguing about semantics, chas v'shalom. What are they arguing about? Is it one mitzvah to blow three koilos? Just like when you make a bracha, you say a bracha of whatever, 10 separate words. Or, according to the Rabbanon, no, it's three separate mitzvahs. Famous shaila, everybody knows this shaila. In between Pesach and Sukkot, what do? We count Sfirasayim. How many days? 49. Between Pesach and Shavuos. Big Shaila. Is that 49 separate mitzvahs? Or is it one mitzvah? What do you mean one mitzvah? I do it every single day. Okay. Maybe there's one big mitzvah which takes 49 days to be Makayim. Alternatively, no, it's 49 separate mitzvahs. So we have many of these types of discussions. Whenever we have multiple actions, we always have to discuss, is that considered one mitzvah with various components, even if they're repeated components? Or perhaps it's separate mitzvahs. Rav Moshe Zedek, you need to know this. When you shecht a korban, how many avoidos are there in every korban?
Minimum.
Four. First is the shechita, which by the way could be, the Gemara says, not an avoida, that can even be with a non-kohen. Next is kabolas hadam, you've got to receive the dam in a kli. Then hoilocha, you transport the dam to the mizbeach, and finally zrika, you sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. Big machloikas rishonim, is that considered one mitzvah or four separate mitzvahs? It's very negeah to this week's parasha. Why is it negeah to this week's parasha? Vayakel is all about construction of the Mishkan. Is it a separate mitzvah to make the Shulchan and also the Mizbeach and also the Menorah and also the Oroin? Or is it one big mitzvah? What is the mitzvah? Construct the Mishkan. With its various components. Big machlokes, Rambam, Rambam. So we have this in many, 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 many areas. Whenever you have a mitzvah made up of various components, we always have to wonder to ourselves, is it one mitzvah with various parts, or is each particular part considered a separate mitzvah? So like we said before, when I make a bracha, everybody understands there that what? Of course it's one mitzvah. It has various parts. I've got to say the word Baruch, and I've got to say the word Aton, I've got to say Hashem, and if I miss out one of those words, I've messed up the whole mitzvah, but nobody's going to tell you it's 10 mitzvahs. It's obvious. On Seder night, you have to eat matzah, and you also have to have moroi. How many mitzvahs is that? Obviously that's two. So sometimes it's obvious that it's separate, and sometimes it's obvious that it's one. Here we have a case in point where it's not obvious at all. In fact, it turns out it's machlekes. According to the Rabbanon, Terat is three mitzvahs. That's why we called it minimum of 21, maximum 48. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's one mitzvah. So what is that, just an argument about semantics? We've actually seen no, it has a very practical ramification. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the gap in between? Virtually no gap. According to Rabbanon, there can be a gap. Maybe not like Rabbi Yochanan over the course of 9 hours, but there can be a gap because it's three separate mitzvahs. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll resume tomorrow morning. We'll be one.
Where?
Mom's closing in. 2:30. No.